How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico. How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
Hello, Legion of Audience. This is James. And before we get started today, I wanted to take a second and let you all know about the brand new Who Would Win Patreon. If you'd like to support the show and get behind the scenes access like you've never seen before, go to patreon.com/whowouldwinshow right now. Who Would Win patrons will have access to outtake videos, early info on battles, and even get a vote on characters that we'll use in upcoming episodes. So if you'd like to support me and the show, head to patreon.com/whowouldwinshow, and for as little as $5 a month, you can define yourself as more than just a fan. You'll be an official member of the Legion. Hope to see you there.
The Citadel has been conquered, and a better type of life is bestowed on all who dwell in the Australian wasteland. Furiosa has taken the title of Empress and vowed to share water with all her people as long as she stays in power. Furiosa slumps back into an iron throne and takes a much-deserved moment to rest. It is then that the shanty doors fly open as the bride, clad in yellow jumpsuit, storms the throne room. Furiosa does not react much, though. She turns her head slightly to the side and whispers to herself, It's been a while, but it looks like my past has caught up with me too. As she stands back up and prepares herself for a fight. It's Immortan Praetorian versus Deadly Viper Assassination Squad. It's Warboy versus Black Mamba. It's Furiosa versus the Bride. Today on Who Would Win?
And welcome to another episode of Who Would Win, a show that completely ignores anything important happening in the world and instead focuses on a fictional battle between two characters from the worlds of comics, sci-fi, and fantasy. I'm your host, James Gavsey, and as always, I'm joined by the one and only, the legend himself, Ray Stakanis. In today's episode, we have two relentless, highly skilled warriors defined by their resilience and unwavering pursuit of justice, as well as their insanely high levels of kickassery, which is a word I think I invented. In one corner, you have the Bride from the Kill Bill film franchise, a highly skilled assassin betrayed by her former comrades who embarks on a relentless quest for vengeance. And in the other corner, you have Furiosa from the Mad Max film franchise, a battle-hardened warrior who defies a tyrannical warlord to liberate enslaved women, all while navigating a desolate wasteland. As usual, I did the patented Who Would Win Google test just to see how many times this matchup has been discussed, and this matchup has not been discussed frequently at all. This one surprised me. Yeah, in fact, I had to do quite a bit of searching to find any mention of this battle. So it kind of has been discussed once in a while, but has never come close to a clear conclusion until today, that is. Ray, I got to know, what are your thoughts on today's battle?
I'm fascinated by this battle. You know, we have two characters. Now, we don't normally do this, but two characters, both from action cinema, two characters who each had two movies, and that's basically it. And they're two more recent characters. We normally try to like move the character genres away from each other to get a little bit more of an interesting battle. But the fact that you said these two haven't really been put together in a fight situation before honestly surprises me, because I thought we were maybe being a little too on the nose with this one. But it's good to see that once again, the Who Would Win show is one step ahead of the people.
This is what we do, right? This is something we're exceptionally great at doing. Look, when you have the matchup, you know, such as it's kind of crazy how intriguing this is, because you got two characters. Again, they overcame what appeared to be crazy, impossible odds, yet they did it. They each had very different, unique story arcs. But here's the deal. When you have these two types of characters who are about to have an incredible battle, you really do need a very special type of judge who has the ability to, I don't know what's the right word, dissect what's about to happen during the fight, but also who knows how to really make sure that that victory comes with a person who truly deserves it. And wow, do we ever have the right person as a judge for today's battle. So making their first appearance on the Who Would Win show, it's award-winning author, it's the writer of The Heroine's Labyrinth, it's Douglas A. Burton. Douglas, welcome to Who Would Win.
Hey, thanks for having me on the show. This is an unprecedented matchup, so I feel like I have a front row seat to a never before seen cage match.
That's exactly what this is. That is so many good reasons for you to be on this show. Now, before we kind of get into the smaller details and the finer details of this battle, tell Legion of Audience, our faithful fan base, what you've been up to.
So I have a book that just came out, and I'm very eager to share it with writers of all stripes, screenwriters, novelists, even memoirists. The book is an alternative to the hero's journey. And what it is it studies the archetypal patterns that exist in hero-centric stories. And when you string these patterns together, they form a narrative arc, and you can spot this arc in multiple stories. And by the way, Furiosa and Beatrix Kiddo are two of the heroines I studied, their stories. So this is perfect.
I love it. Look, as you know, up-and-coming producer, I get really cool scripts coming by me all the time. And, you know, we talked a little bit before the show. One of the things I really go by is, like, I don't know what I don't know. So when I saw, you know, The Heroine's Labyrinth and kind of, you know, read the bio, I'm ordering the book shortly, you know, there's a lot that I may be missing here. What are some things that people kind of, you know, without giving away too much of the book, what are some things that people need to know but may not be aware of?
Well, hero-centric stories tend to be different from the classical hero's journey. The hero's journey usually features a departure from the native culture and then a return to that native culture. The heroine's journey tends to be an inward journey that stays within the native culture. So your heroine's classic conflicts are, it's the heroine and against her own native culture. There's issues that she's dealing with there. And then also the villain archetype, which I call a masked minotaur. Immortan's Joe is a perfect example. Bill is a perfect example. These are social apex characters who are hidden or disguised in the native culture. They're homegrown. They usually have a relationship with the heroine, and they are usually trying to capture the heroine as well. So the heroine with this masked minotaur archetype and the conflict with their native culture, that forms your classic heroine triangle of conflict there. So that's a great starting point for the heroine's labyrinth.
This makes a lot of sense to me, but a little bit of a request. Can you speak slower for Ray so we can follow along and kind of understand where we're going with this in general? So,
Ray, you
going
to take that from him?
I've never met this man before in my life.
This is what I'm talking about. Okay, so before we even get into the battle itself, tell our fan base where they... Because this, before we even get to this, this is a really intriguing book to me because this is going to help a lot of people tell a better story. Right? Like, this is something that's not like, oh, this is a cool thing. No. I see this is going to help a lot of people create better films, TV series, and just great projects in general. So tell our fan base, the Legion of Audience, where they can order this book.
You can order this book anywhere books are sold. So Amazon is a great starting place. Of course, I always recommend going to your local bookstore. I love independent booksellers. So if you have one there, you should be able to find it there as well. Of course, Barnes & Noble as well. So and if you're looking for a little bit of information or a little cue there, you can go to my website. There's a little video I put together for everyone to get some taste of what it is that I'm talking about there. And that of course, is douglasaburton.com if you want to check that out.
You heard it here first, Legion of Audience. Check out this book, Heroes Labyrinth. Go to Douglas's website or Amazon or wherever you go for your books. It's going to be amazing. All right. It's time to do what we got to do. Ray, please do us the honors and announce today's matchup.
Representing action cinema, the warrior who is still dangerous even when disarmed, Furiosa. And also representing action cinema, the warrior so beloved that nobody was snarky about the title of her first movie being a total lie, The Bride.
Well done, Ray. Now, before we go any further, let's go over the basics of a Who Would Win match. Now, each debater will make 3 points. Keep in mind that the Who Would Win match is a random encounter in a neutral location with no prior knowledge or prep time allowed, and the debater has to stay within the confines of the character. And when it comes to determining the winner, it's the judge who has the final say, and will determine which character lost based on death, incapacitation, or battlefield removal with no outside interference being allowed. Remember, you can always check out all the rules on our website at www.whowouldwinshow.tv. And before we get started, don't forget to leave the Who Would Win Show a 5-star rating and a fantastic written review wherever you download and listen to podcasts. And now, let's get to the tale of the tape for both of our combatants. Ray, please give us the details for Furiosa.
Imperator Furiosa is an officer in the Wasteland Army of Immortan Joe in post-apocalyptic Australia. She was created by George Miller, Brendan McCarthy, and Nico Lithoris, and was originally played by Charlize Theron. She first appeared in the movie Mad Max Fury Road back in 2015. Kidnapped and sold as a child by Wasteland tough guy Dementis, Furiosa escaped her life and refashioned herself as a mechanic and then a soldier, rising through the ranks of the War Boys due to her skill and competence. Furiosa eventually turned on her boss and joined up with Mad Max, however, in an effort to free the 5 wives of Immortan Joe in an effort to seek personal redemption. This all leads to Furiosa defeating Joe and conquering his city, the Citadel, to exert her dominance all over the land. Fun fact, Furiosa's shaved head, it's a look, and it's a pretty BA1 at that, and it suits the no-nonsense character of Furiosa to a T. But did you know that this was not the original plan for her? Well, it turns out that the original design of Furiosa was for her to have long hair and be a bit of a takeoff on Barbarella of space. However, Charlize Theron pushed against that choice because as a mechanic working in a post-apocalyptic machine shop, hair like that would have gotten tangled up in the machines repeatedly and it would have hurt really bad. This simple act of thinking through the world building got them to the shaved head that at the end of the day really sells the character, and that is Furiosa.
Very cool. Now, here are the important details for the bride, a.k.a. Beatrix Kiddo. So Beatrix Michelle Kiddo is the daughter of Mark and Michelle Kiddo and a former romantic partner of Bill. Beatrix was once a member of the Deadly Viper assassination squad and was codenamed Black Mamba. After a premature retirement from her assassination career upon becoming pregnant, Beatrix left the squad to escape the life of an assassin and start a new one for her unborn daughter. However, Beatrix's friends and her fiancé were murdered at the marriage rehearsal itself. Beatrix herself was shot in the head, which put her into a 4-year coma, during which her daughter, BB Kiddo, was delivered successfully. Once she woke up from her coma, Beatrix plotted her deadly vengeance against all members of the Deadly Viper assassination squad, including Bill himself, killing them all one by one, including killing anyone else who stood in her way. And here's an interesting fact about Kill Bill. Did you know that the title character and main villain Bill was almost played by a different Hollywood legend? It's true. Throughout the series, the eponymous Bill is the biggest target of the bride's revenge. Quentin Tarantino initially wrote the part for the enigmatic Bill for silver screen legend Warren Beatty, but as the character began to take shape and become more fleshed out, he realized he needed someone who could handle the martial arts heavy action and stunts, which is why David Carradine was cast, although there wasn't really crazy heavy martial arts stuff, whatever. And it was also reported that other famous faces like Kurt Russell, Jack Nicholson, and Burt Reynolds were considered for the role. However, in my opinion, they missed out on the perfect choice by somehow mistakenly not casting the ultimate cinematic villain for the role. That's right, Ray Stakanis.
Thank you.
And now you have the facts on the ball. I'm just saying, Ray, you would have been awesome as Bill. Just putting that out there. And now you have the facts on both opponents. Douglas, do you have any questions before we get started?
I don't think I have any questions. I have read the rules from the website. They are airtight. It is going to be up to each of you to make a strong case here. So we're going to go on the merits of these arguments, and we're going to figure out who will win this fight.
I love it. Let's get this party started. Ray, hit us with your point number one.
I wonder if I should be mad that I didn't even get a chance to audition for the role of Bill. And then I remembered when that movie first came out, I was in like my mid-20s. And so maybe that's not an appropriate age for that character to be. That's obviously the only reason why I would not have been approached for it.
Well, they'd that's have it. To change the title to Slay Ray.
Oh, that's a great point. But we all know that's not possible. I have never died in a motion picture. You can look it up. I've never died in a TV show or a motion picture. You're not getting me now, Uma Thurman. Anyway, point number one for Furiosa. Let's talk about some of the basics. Because we get to see, because of the prequel, Furiosa, fantastic movie. I just watched it to prepare for this. It was phenomenal. I was expecting it to be not great, and it was. Y'all, see this movie. Anyway, The point I'm trying to say is I love this world of Mad Max. And as a child in post-apocalyptic Australia, she was head and shoulders smarter than everyone else around her. When we first meet her, she's going off on a dangerous assignment, even though she's being told, don't do it, bad things will happen. Now, those people ended up being right, but who cares? She's out there like slicing all of the gas lines on all of the motorcycles, so that way she has an easier chance to escape. And even then, when she's captured, she's biting the gas lines to also do it. She knows machinery. She knows mechanics. This plays into her character later. It's wonderful. And as a kid, like I say, she's outsmarting everyone around her, finding tricks and underhanded ways to get out of the way. Remember when she eventually got her escape from the big people at in the Citadel, she held the underside of a pipe until the coast was clear. Hanging by a pipe with nothing to grab onto with your full body weight at an age like that, in an extended period of time, in order to try to escape, is great physical ability, even at a young age. And then in the moment, she was able to improvise a new persona in order to fit in, because Furiosa is a survivor. Now, you could argue that Beatrix is also a survivor, but I think Furiosa kicks it up a notch given the world that she lives in, where it's not just the people trying to kill you, it's everything trying to kill you. And so she created this nonverbal, mail-passing character, used her extensive knowledge of vehicles to become a mechanic in the War Boys shop. Fantastic. But that's not the only way that she excels. She is an incredible sniper. She's one of the best snipers I've seen committed to film. And that includes like Enemy at the Gates and a few other Leon the Professional. She's maybe better sniper than all of the people in those movies. She picked off moving targets that were going up and down through the dunes. And she did so at very, very great range. And we're not talking about the most state-of-the-art machinery. She had to take whatever rifle and scope she just happened to have and make it work. And she was hitting people that barely showed up, like in the scope. They were so far away. And she was one-shotting them over and over again. Remember in the scene with the war rig when they get ambushed, she was going to just take off. Her friend is still out there, though. So she goes back in with her sniper rifle, and it was like a scene out of a video game, out of like a Hitman game or something, if you do those special missions, where you have a sniper rifle and you're just picking off everybody to just try to save the guy one after another as it goes. And she even kept Dementis himself pinned down, and she just took out everyone around him, and he was stuck behind that pillar until he got his hands on a rocket launcher. Well, there it goes. And mechanically, she understands machines. She understands how to power them up. She also understands how to break them. So in all of this, anytime there's going to be any kind of a machine around or any type of a vehicle, I'm going to trust Furiosa over the bride every single day. Vehicles are core to who she is. So if there is any kind of a vehicle around, she's going to find it. She's going to jump in it. She's going to know how to use it. And she's going to use it to her great advantage. The final thing here, she fights really, really dirty. She's a very dirty fighter. You know, she tackled Max when he was getting his chains cut with the bolt cutters. She didn't wait for something to happen. Even though he had the gun drawn on her, he turned his attention for a second. She closed the distance and took him down. And then when he finally, with his much bigger guy, so when he finally turned it around and got on top of her, she just started grabbing handfuls of sand and throwing it into his eyes repeatedly. She didn't just do it once. She just kept doing it until he got off of her. That's what we're talking about. Max grabbed a pistol from the underside of that vehicle. Well, she was able to close the distance again, grab him, unload it with one motion, fire off a shot that almost hit him in the face before finally like taking the gun for that moment out of the equation. So as far as disarming people, firearms, all of that goes, Furiosa, I just think, is at a higher plateau than the bride. And that's my point number one.
All right. These are really interesting points about Furiosa, because I don't think you're wrong on anything you just said. But in terms of the situation, I think we got to put some stuff in context. Now, first of all, yeah, she's a really good sniper, and she's going to need distance, and she's going to need cover, and typically she needs the element of surprise to get that range. Remember, in a Who Would Win battle, it's a random encounter. They're facing off against each other. There's no initial, like, hey, I can catch this person by surprise. I'm going to hide 300 meters or 400 meters over here where they won't see me hiding or getting to that position. That situation doesn't exist for this battle. On top of that, sniper rifles aren't part of Furiosa's regular weapons she carries around with her at all times. Just putting that out there. So it's something she can get maybe in the movies, but this isn't something where she can, you know, she's going to have access to everything she always uses. And finally, in terms of being a dirty fighter, yeah, she is a dirty fighter, but no one's a dirtier fighter than the bride. As evidence is how She tore out someone's eye. It was that person's only good eye because the other eye was torn out by someone else. That's a pretty dirty fighter. Now, let me get to my point number one for the bride. And for my point number one, let's just talk about the overall badassery of this character. Now, in terms of her hand-to-hand combat mastery, we saw this. It's her journey to becoming a top-tier martial artist within her world. She had really crazy training under Kung Fu Master Pai Mei, as well as, that villainous Bill gave her a lot of guidance in terms of fighting. And Pai Mei's methods were, insanely punishing. They focused on precision strikes, grappling, crazy, devastating open palm techniques we saw. He'd strike her for every mistake, and that kind of conditioned her reflexes to perfection. And this training shines in fights like this kitchen brawl she had in one of the movies with a character named Vernita Green, where her strikes were as precise as they were powerful. This is someone who knows how to hit you and make it hurt in every way they can actually strike you. Of course, she's got insane acrobatics and agility. Again, with that training with Pai Mei and her time in Bill's deadly Viper Assassination Squad. I love just saying that, by the way. That gave her some insane abilities, especially acrobatics. Pai Mei in particular emphasized flexibility and balance in this training. He forced her to perform physically impossible feats like maintaining one-legged stances for hours or executing complex flips and rolls. And these skills helped her glide through the chaotic house of blue leaves fight with a superhuman ability. More on that later. But that's the kind of training the bride has that Furiosa just in her post-apocalyptic world wouldn't have access to. There's some finesse, extra training technique that she has. And again, Furiosa is tough, but just doesn't have the instruction available. It's a post-apocalyptic society after all. Of course, both characters have it, but I'm going to lean a little bit more towards the pain tolerance and physical conditioning of the bride. Because remember that whole scene, she's buried in a coffin alive. And what does she do? Hey, it's no problem. She starts making a fist and starts punching her way out using patience, whatever she's got to do. And she punches her way through the flooring of it or whatever, the wood, and she gets out. This is someone who's spent endless hours punching solid wood and stone in her training. And this is stuff that saved her life. And just when she hits someone, it's going to hurt very, very badly and do a lot of damage. Her close quarter combat training was equally intense. Look, her time with Bill and the Deadly Vipers, it wasn't just about flashy moves that we sometimes see in a Tarantino movie. No, it was about learning to dominate in tight, chaotic environments, whether she was cramped in a cramped trailer, like in her fight with a character named L Driver, or surrounded by enemies. Look, her instincts, footwork, her improvisation really just enables her to turn any confined space she's in into her personal domain for absolute destruction. And again, her ability to improvise, it's really legendary throughout the movies. She's the queen of adaptability. Pai Mei's lessons, that kung fu instructor, the lessons, they really emphasize her using her environment to her advantage. This is a standout moment in her fight with a character named Gogo Yubari, where she outsmarts this deadly schoolgirl of all people using this person's own weapon against her. Of course, she's got stealth and tactical training, which is really crazy because she's got this ability to infiltrate places and not get caught. And then, of course, she's got the grappling joint lock techniques. This is someone who's a master combatant amongst master combatants. And finally, her endurance training is absolutely brutal. She's got insane training. She got put through some crazy regimes, and her stamina and her strength are going to last forever. Long distance runs, high intensity drills, survival scenarios. All of this just pushed her body to crazy peak human perfection. As great as Furiosa is, saying she's peak human, you can't say that because she doesn't even have the resources to hit that level, but the bride does. All of that is my point number one.
I mean, these are great points. She's a great character. She's a great fighter. No one can dispute that, except I'm going to later dispute that. But some of the things we got to talk about here, Furiosa fights men that are considerably larger in size than she is, and she hangs. The bride is not physically that much larger, stronger, and more powerful than she is. So she's going to have a lot of advantages we don't get to see in the movies because she's always fighting these giant men as opposed to fighting against Beatrix, who's not small, but she's not Mad Max 6'4", 250 linebacker big, right? And you see, she doesn't have the training. She lives in a world that trains her. She's in an army in that world where you have to fight every day to survive. There's a great Warhammer 40,000 novel by Mitchell Scanlon called 15 Hours. And it's the story of how this trooper ends up on a planet. And essentially, you either live 15 hours or you die. And if you make it 15 hours, you learn the skills needed to survive long term. So essentially, if you can make it through that first 15 hours, you're going to be surviving as it goes. Well, let's talk about 175,000 hours that Furiosa would have spent in the Australian wasteland. She obviously knows how to survive. She knows how to do it. And the weapons. Oh, she won't have the sniper rifle? Well, in Fury Road, she carries an SKS carbine. We're talking about a sword fight versus a gunfight here. And even if we go back, she carries lots of pistols and knives with her as well. She's gonna be armed.
At least somewhat. All right, Douglas, listen, you've heard one point from both Ray and myself. Where's your head at so far with this battle?
So this has gone back and forth pretty hardcore. Great arguments made on both sides. I've got to DQ the 15 hours argument on the planet. I feel like that's unrelated material. It's not relevant to this exact debate. However, from raw pound for pound, I think Ray's made a great case that Furiosa is a raw warrior that started at an early age. So I'm leaning toward Furiosa in the early going.
Ooh, interesting and incorrect, just from my opinion. But whatever, the battle has a long way to go. Stay tuned for point number two.
Spark something uncommon this holiday with just the right gift from Uncommon Goods. If you haven't finished your holiday shopping yet, and let's face it, you haven't, but you don't need to panic. We've got a secret source for incredible original gifts, and that is Uncommon Goods. Unique, hand-picked gifts for everyone on your list, and it's all in one spot. They're going to spark joy, wonder, delight, and it's that exactly what I wanted feeling. But don't just take it from me. Listen to James.
Hey, parents. So, I just scored some major dad points thanks to UncommonGoods.com. I got these do-it-yourself kits for my twin 14-year-olds, and let me tell you, I've never seen them this excited to build something that isn't in Minecraft. Plus, I treated myself to this amazing stay-cool adjustable laptop desk because, you know, I deserve it. UncommonGoods.com has the coolest stuff you didn't even know you needed. Trust me, if you want to keep your kids entertained and snag something awesome for yourself, this is the place. Go check out UncommonGoods.com. You'll thank me later.
There you have it. To get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/whowouldwin. That's uncommongoods.com/whowouldwin. It's 15% off. Don't miss out on this limited time offer. Uncommon Goods, we're all out of ordinary.
Shop the best Black Friday weekend deals up to 70% off only at Tanger Outlets. Save big at Crocs, Old Navy Outlet, American Eagle Outfitters, Kay Jewelers, and hundreds more. Find something for everyone on your list during our biggest sale of the year. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Stores open at 6 a.m. Black Friday. Get your savings at Tanger.com. Big time deals on big name brands.
And we're back. All right, Ray, let's see what she got. Here's your point number two.
Point number two for Furiosa. We're going to talk a little bit about her durability and a little bit about her enhancements. Now, first off, her durability. She gets hit a lot. She takes a lot of damage over the course of these two movies. Let's not forget. In fact, in Furiosa, that position I talked about, how she had the sniper position shooting at Dementis and keeping him pinned down. He came up with a brilliant strategy of grabbing an RPG rocket launcher and a human shield in front of him to take the sniper bullet, and then spun around, the other guy took the hit, he fired a rocket up into her position with perfect accuracy, and blew up her entire sniper position, burying her in rubble and sand. And she got out of it. She dug her way out of the sand, despite the fact that that was absolutely ridiculous. And in the Mad Max Fury Road movie, she's driving, she's holding Mad Max out the window with a little bit of support, but basically holding him by like, what, a rope or a chain or something. And one of the bad guys comes in and stabs her in the side with like a giant knife. And she not only keeps Mad Max held the whole time, she continues to drive and drive exceptionally well, despite the fact that she is bleeding out with a knife in her. Ridiculous. And also her arm, let's remember, was destroyed. It was caught between like a big tire and like her own vehicle and just it absolutely wonked, just gone. And then as torture, they tied that dead arm and tried to drag her to kill her. Her partner didn't make it through the dragging because that's a rough thing to go through. But she cut off her own arm in order because she didn't need it anyway at this point. It was gone. She cut it off so she could escape. That is absolutely ridiculous toughness. We've never seen the bride do anything that tough in any of her movies. Not that she's not tough, but oh my gosh, I don't see her cutting off her own arm to save herself. But much like Ash from Army of Darkness, Furiosa crafted a superior arm to a regular person in its place. Wonderful. She's got a metal arm now that allows for damage to Counter-Strike. If the bride tries to come in with a sword, she could parry with her metal arm and not worry about feeling any pain from it. She can, in fact, do a parry in order to get close, in order to get a big shot off that she needs to. It's a perfect defensive weapon right there attached to her arm. But not just that, it has hooks in it as well. She can use it to grab and hook and stab through things if she needs to. And not only that, she's got this cool shoulder thing where she pulls this like motor and it turns into like these electronic bolt cutters. I'm not exactly sure how it works, but I saw her cutting like a bunch of chains and stuff with it, just like putting it nearby and cutting it. If she gets into a fight and she pulls that thing and starts going at Beatrix Kiddo, she's going to tear her up. And all of this together, you got supreme durability. She's taking a lot of heat, taking a lot of damage over the course of these movies, especially, but in her life in general, and the fact that she has a robotic arm, this is no contest. And that's my point number two.
Yeah, here's the deal. I will push back a little bit on her durability. She gets stabbed and it really, you know, she powers through it, which, again, it's not to put a character down for that, but she doesn't stay, you know, at full focus and what have you. She has to fight through it and she's definitely weakened by it. So she's, I'd say, way above a regular human in terms of her willpower, which enhances her durability somewhat. But to take on the damage that the bride has, even when she was like taking on the crazy 88, that huge gang of insanely well-trained Yakuza, all with swords coming at her, where she took on damage that was unbelievable and didn't just kind of like, hey, I can still function. No, she actually rose up to the challenge and took them all out. That's a different level. The metal arm, oh, look, I love that metal arm that Furiosa has. It does help her defensively. And if she has to cut through some like bolts, whatever, that's great. But it's not a fantastic offensive weapon whatsoever. And let's face it, in the Mad Max world, there's not a whole lot of people, if any, that have anything close to the technical mastery and proficiency that the bride has when it comes to either improvised weapons, never mind her sword. Now, let me get to my point number two, because for my point number two, let's just talk about the bride's legendary sword. Now, first off, this iconic sword is crazy, and she uses a katana forged by none other than Hattori Hanzo, the legendary blacksmith who swore he'd never make another weapon until the bride convinced him otherwise. And let's be honest, it's not just a sword. It's a work of art. Hanzo himself calls it the finest blade he's ever created. And judging by the carnage it unleashes, I really don't think he was kidding. Now, her training with the sword goes back to her time with Bill, who ensured she was a master of Japanese swordsmanship. She spent years perfecting every aspect of her technique, stances, strikes, parries, counters, until she became an extension of the blade itself. We've heard this story before with Crazy Samurai, and the bride is no exception. Now, the proof is in her fight again with a crazy 88, which can only be called legendary. She slices through, again, an entire army of highly trained Yakuza like it was nothing. All of them armed with swords or different weapons. Her control over the sword is really just insane. She's delivering strikes while it's making it look like, I don't know, like she's dancing with it, which is a super high level. And then there's Oren Ishii, an expert with the sword herself, who falls to the bride in one of the most powerful and really well-executed sword duels ever put on screen, just in my opinion. See, at the end of the day, the bride's sword isn't just a weapon. It's a symbol. It really is just a symbol. And it's a symbol that this fight is about to get good and then end even better. But the sword isn't her, you know, end-all be-all, because if she doesn't have it for some reason, which could happen, maybe not, she's also a master of improvisational weapons. I mentioned this earlier. We got to hit this again. The bride doesn't actually need a katana to absolutely wreak havoc. If an object is nearby, look, it's a weapon. Take the fight with Vernita Green in the kitchen. No katana, no problem. The bride grabs what? A frying pan, a coffee mug, whatever else she can grab. She turned the entire kitchen into her personal battlefield. Look, in all seriousness, I've done a lot of training on using improvised weapons. I've taught improvised weapons. And even I was taking notes on how the bride was using anything and everything as an improvised deadly weapon. It was that amazing. And then her showdown with Gogo Yubari again. She uses a broken chair leg to counter the spiked ball and chain, which was the absolute right thing to do at that moment. Whoever was the stunt coordinator for that, my hat is off to you, because when you have a flexible weapon with a chain and a ball with the spikes, one of the ways you got to stop it is to put it, embed it into something that's unexpected. And she did it. It was absolute amazement. Her creativity, I don't know what the right word is, her adaptability, how she finds openings in impossible situations. She is an absolute master of instantly analyzing, I don't know what, her surroundings and turning them into an advantage fashion. Most of us can find the TV remote just to put it blindly. Look, she is the perfect combo of both sword and improvised weapons. And we're going to have a fight like this where all of a sudden, hey, maybe you can take off that arm of Furiosa. Don't be surprised if the bride can use Furiosa's own arm as a really good weapon against Furiosa as well. All of that is my point number two.
Okay, look, she's got a good sword. I don't know that she's great with it, though. Look, and you talk about, you know, oh, she's taking a lot of damage, but she gets hurt by it, and she's a little bit more grounded, we will say, as a character than the bride is, which is fine, because all Furiosa has to do is get to the end of this battle with a win. She doesn't have to go conquer a kingdom afterwards. All she has to do is get through a win, and that's what she does in her movies, right? She gets a win after win after win, and then she has to recover. Great. After she defeats the bride in this who would win battle, she can take as much time to recover as she needs. And I'm going to make an argument here. One of my biggest problems watching Kill Bill when it first came out, and I did, I saw it in theaters, and I was honestly left a little deflated coming out of it. The action was good enough, but my biggest problem was Uma Thurman is clearly not a trained fighter. She's not a trained martial artist, and it shows in some of her training that she does in the movie and some of her fight scenes. Let's just say it's not impressive. If I'm to take Uma Thurman's fighting in those movies as the fighting of the bride and take a little bit of Hollywood magic out of it, she's not great. She's not throwing good punches and good kicks. James, you're an MMA superstar. You know this, and we'll see if you can even admit it. And when she's holding that sword, especially above her head, she demonstrates very little control over it. It's wobbling all over the place. When she's holding it, you can see it all throughout the movie, and that in itself took me out of the movie enough that I did not come out of it respecting her as a fighter.
I just got to say something. Look, it was 2003, right, when the Kill Bill came out, the first one, or 2002, whatever it was. I'm not going to comment on did I watch it and say, hey, some of that stuff's not absolutely perfect, because the same thing could be said when I watch Furiosa and also Mad Max Fury Road, when I watched Charlize Theron, or the actor who was in Furiosa. Was everything pristine in terms of execution of technique? No. So we have to kind of, you know, just believe that despite that, like a James Toney, you watch him throw a cross. Is it technically absolutely perfect? No. But does it knock people the heck out? Yes. Is it effective technique? I'd say both would have it.
Wait, James, it was a lot like watching the videotape of my first ever wrestling match. It's ponderous when she's fighting someone.
I know, but we can't hold that against Furiosa. Now, we need to get to the turning point because, Douglas, you've had a moment to ponder 2 points from both Ray and myself. Who do you think is ahead, and what does the other side have to do to pull out the victory?
Well, you know, you guys went back and forth with some interestingly similar arguments. You talk about what they're bringing to the table besides themselves. You know, Ray mentioned the enhanced arm, and James, you mentioned the Hattori Hanzo katana. I mean, that gives an advantage to the bride. There's no question about it. The Hattori Hanzo sword is an unprecedented elite weapon. It's not something that was shackled together in a low-tech situation. So I think at this point in round two, you know, there's a case being made for Beatrix to pull ahead. I think I also got to say, you know, this got a little nasty in the trenches. We're going after Uma Thurman here. This is not Uma versus Charlize. This is Furiosa versus Beatrix Kiddo. So I think we got to stay on point with this battle that's going back and forth. So for Furiosa to pull it out, or Beatrix, it's going to come down to some of those intangible qualities that they're bringing to the table in the end.
Yeah, Ray.
That's going to hurt because my entire point three was based off of Atomic Blonde. I got time to improvise. Don't worry about it.
All right. You've heard it from Douglas. Things are close, but who knows how this battle is going to end up. Stay tuned for point number three.
How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico. How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today's actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
And we're back, Ray. Look, it's now or never. Hit us with your point number three.
Point number three for Furiosa. Let's just talk about some of the things that she has done. We know that the bride has cut her way through a bunch of fighters, a bunch of assassins, and then got to Bill himself. Spoiler alert. If you didn't know, it's the literal name of the movie. But she also was familiar with all of those people. She knew all of those people. She had fought alongside so many of the people that she defeated, giving her prior knowledge in all of those battles, a thing that she is not going to have today against a character like Furiosa that, quite honestly, comes from a different place, absolutely thinks in a different way, and I don't think Uma's going to be able to wrap her head around even who or what she is fighting until it is far too late. Keeping in mind, Furiosa went on a 15-year revenge quest against Dementis for killing her mother in front of her and taking her prisoner. Now, Dementis, in his own weird way, was trying to, like, do this whole Gamora Thanos thing and raise her as one of his own children. That doesn't work if you kill the person's mother in front of them, Dementis, you big goober. That's not going to work. And just, gotta mention, just for the record, Chris Hemsworth's Australian accent is something to behold in the movie of Furiosa. If you have not seen it, at least find a clip on YouTube, because it is Crocodile Hunter. Take it up to 100. It is wonderful. Now, anyway, Furiosa worked him. She was able to get information about him. There was a 40-day war in the wasteland, and his team lost because of the information that Furiosa brought. What did she do? She tracked him down. She picked off all of his guards with a sniper rifle, one after another, when he was at his weakest before he could get back to his base camp. And then he tried to hide in the desert under, like, a desert-colored blanket with his bike. She found him when he was sleeping, still wanted revenge. So what did she do? She cut out all of his water, and she made him in a very vulnerable position, but didn't kill him in the moment. She found him in the desert, and she humbled him. And at the end of the movie, I won't say exactly what happened, but let's just say the seed was planted earlier in the movie. Boom. Got him. If you know, you know. Anyway, a few other things that she has done here to show that she does push through the pain in a way that I don't know. I don't know that Beatrix Kiddo against people she doesn't know in an unfamiliar situation is going to have that same type of internal fortitude. She was injured and she crawled along the side of a Mortis Joe's vehicle like she was Spider-Man. I don't know exactly how she did this, but she wall crawled along the side of the vehicle while it was going at, like, whatever, 60 miles an hour through the desert. And then she got right up to his driver's side door. She put her spear up through his mask, and then it ended up falling into the tires of the car next to her and ripped his face off, basically. I don't remember Kill Bill, anybody in that movie getting their face ripped off. Horrific. Delightful. He had it coming. He was a real jerk. At the end of the day, both of these characters went on full revenge quests in order to try to take out, murder, the person who did them the worst. And as Furiosa decided, she wasn't done with just the revenge quest. Could you imagine if in Kill Bill, she kills Bill, and then she's like, now I'm going to go after the head of some terrorist agency. I don't know. But it would be a great third movie. Consider it, Quentin Tarantino. I know you listen. At the end of the day, one of these people does her task and is done. But Furiosa's revenge quest never ends because she takes out more people afterwards and ends up conquering the entire wasteland. If you were to put Furiosa in the bride's shoes, I think she does very well. I think she does find a way to take out all those people. But if you put the bride in the post-apocalyptic future of Mad Max, do I think that the bride conquers the wasteland? I don't think she does. And at the end of the day, one of them is just much more successful in a much more dangerous environment than I think the other one would be. And I think that just shows that when these two have to go head to head, one is just going to have that little bit more than the other. And that person is Furiosa. And that's my point number three.
All right, time to push back in a major way. Now, first of all, you know, you said that the bride doesn't, you know, the bride knows all of her opponents because she's trained with them, but whatever. Well, here's the thing. The bride didn't know that small army of well-trained Yakuza, the Crazy 88, when she had to take them on. And yet she did, and she did very well. She didn't know also the boss of the, you know, the general, I should say, of the Crazy 88, the schoolgirl dressed insane villain with a ball in the chain who's crazy durable and just great. Didn't know that person.
It's a great character and a great fight scene. I'll even admit to that. It's great.
There you go. Fantastic. Now, on top of that, you know, Furiosa gets great kills, and they're really, really awesome and absolutely worthwhile to watch the movie. But the thing is, she uses time as a weapon. And in a who would win battle, it's a random encounter, neutral location, with no time to prepare, no previous knowledge of your opponent. This isn't allowed in this battle. She doesn't have 15 years to wait, and then or a year to wait or whatever, or sneak up on someone while they're sleeping and set up this elaborate plan, whatever. No, she's in the thick of things right there, right then. This is going to favor the bride. On top of that, you know, in terms of ripping off Amoris's face, that was actually really cool, by the way. The bride did something really cool where she cut off the top of the skull casing, revealing the brain matter of Lucy Liu's character, you know, who is a criminal warlord mastermind and with samurai skills with a sword. So in terms of ripping people apart, doing horrible things to people's bodies, you know, in terms of damage, yeah, the bride has her share of doing that as well. Now, let me get to my point number three. And my point number three, let's just talk about Furiosa's weaknesses. She's got a few and some big accomplishments for the bride. Now, Furiosa's, you know, she's got some weaknesses. I wouldn't call them weaknesses. It's more like limitations. First of all, she's got limited hand-to-hand combat training. I didn't say experience, but training. And this is really what's going to make the difference in this fight. Look, when you've got a lot of experience against these warlords and people who fight in this apocalyptic wasteland, you're going to be great against that type of opponent, which Furiosa is. But the bride's not that person. The bride is someone who's trained to take on and also be so many different types of fighting roles when she fights someone. She needs to be the samurai she is. If she needs to be the dirty fighter and rip someone's eye out, she's there. She needs to use kitchen utensils to rip someone apart. Not a problem for her. She's way more versatile in her training and fighting style than Furiosa is. On top of that, look, Furiosa's prosthetic left arm. Look, I love it. It's really cool. But this is something she's got to use in close quarters against the bride. And where the bride really shines is up close and personal. And the bride is great at disarming people, all joking aside, and using weapons against them. Who's to say she's not going to rip off that prosthetic arm and use that against Furiosa herself? Because that's exactly how Quentin Tarantino would write that whole scene. On top of that, Furiosa really relies on weaponry, although I will say her hand-to-hand is pretty good too, but is more so weapon dependence. And also, this is a big one. She's got way less stealth experience within a non-post-apocalyptic sandy type of exterior. Take her out of that. It's not that she's not going to be a badass fighter, but her ability to stay hidden and use stealth or whatever really gets compromised. Again, the bride's had way more training, way more versatility. She can adapt way better than Furiosa can. Now, in terms of big feats, the bride's got a lot. She's a walking legend with a kill list, you know, longer than most villains' resumes. It's just a fun fact. First off, we've got the House of Blue Leaves Massacre. Again, it's not just a fight. It's an art piece of freaking carnage. This is when the bride takes on the Crazy 88, that army of Yakuza, mows through them like a human buzzsaw. Highlights include her taking down Gogo Yubari, Orenishi's deadly schoolgirl bodyguard. We mentioned that before. By outsmarting her spike ball and chain. And then, of course, the cherry on top, her duel with Orenishi in the snow. That's Lucy Liu's character. It's poetic. It's deadly. It really just proves that the bride can outfight the best of the best. Now, let's give some love to Vernita Green, a.k.a. Copperhead, portrayed, by the way, brilliantly by Vivica A. Fox. That kitchen brawl. I love that. Chef's kiss. That was a great fight between her and the bride. It was personal. It was raw. Full of really, really cool improvisation. Again, my hat's off to the stunt coordinators for that movie. Whether it's a knife fight or a coffee mug smash, look, the bride just knows how to take down another assassin or another badass on foreign territory or on her own turf. It's just great. There's the showdown with Ellie Driver, which can be summed up in two words. That freaking awesome hashtag trailer fight. No swords, no fancy tricks. Knockdown, drag out brawl, and ends up with the bride ripping out Elle's eye and leaving her screaming in the desert, because what's better than, you know, having someone's eye be already ripped out and they're wearing a patch, rip out the other eye. It was awesome. The time she took out Bud, Bill's brother, you know, where she had to punch her way through a coffin, that was cool. But then there's Bill himself, and at the end of Kill Bill, the bride finally faces off against her former lover and mentor, all that kind of good stuff. It's an emotionally charged battle. She uses precision and smarts to finish him off with surgical precision, with my favorite technique of hers. Ray, you knew I was going to use it.
that five-point palm exploding heart technique. And this is a martial arts strike taught to the bride by the infamous Pei Mei. This technique is really stuff of legends, especially in the Kill Bill universe. People talk about this like this is like no one knows this. It's too crazy. And it involves delivering five precise strikes to specific pressure points on a person's chest. And here's the kicker. The victim doesn't die immediately. They're delivered. They know something's wrong. And then once they take five steps, they fall down. Their heart explodes. It's absolutely catastrophic. But here's a fun fact. It doesn't have to be delivered all at once. That's right. It doesn't have to be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. It could be 1, 2, then 3, 4 after, and then a fifth one, which means she can hit Furiosa with these pressure points for the five-point exploding heart technique without Furiosa really knowing what's happening or even knowing she has to defend against it. And then all of a sudden, that fifth one hits. Furiosa takes five steps towards her, thinks she's going to finish her off. Boom, her heart explodes, and she hits the ground. Look, in the end, despite how badass Furiosa is, because she is, the bride just has too much training, too many tools, too many unexpected tactics and techniques that Furiosa will never see coming. All of that is my point number three.
I disagree with so much of what you said. You bring up the Fist of the North Star 5-inch punch. If it's so deadly, why wasn't she using it on everybody? It's kind of just a weird thing. She knows this way to kill somebody at short range, fights short range with like dozens of people, and doesn't just drop everybody using this one technique. That's what I would do if I was in her shoes. It's almost like she saves it for specific battles where she has a message to send. She will not have that message in this battle. And you brought up the slicing the top of the head off. I mean, that's a cool move and all, but I think Hannibal Lecter did it to Ray Liotta a little bit better in the Hannibal movie, because then he made him eat it. And Ray Liotta, that's a much more impressive victim than Lucy Liu. Bless Lucy Liu from TV's Sherlock, whatever they call it, Elementary. What a wonderful show that was. Anyway, Ray Liotta was Henry Hill in Goodfellas. He was Tommy Vercetti in a Grand Theft Auto game's protagonist. He played Captain T.C. Doyle in Operation Dumbo Drop. You can't fade this guy. So you're going to bring up a point that was done way better by somebody else. I'll just knock it down a peg. The things about the bride and where she falls down. She's emotionally unstable. She is out for revenge and revenge only. She doesn't even necessarily care about her own survival except to get revenge, which means that when she's facing somebody like Furiosa that she has no qualms with, no beef with, she's not going to fight as hard. She's not going to use the 5-inch punch and some of this other stuff because she has no point to make against Furiosa. She's just going to fight her. And she often underestimates her opponents. Even though she knows these people, so many of them, she's often caught off guard by people using a tactic that she's not prepared for. Happens a lot in her movies. And at the end of the day, I don't think Furiosa gets close enough for a lot of this stuff to happen. We're talking about a person who uses guns and shoots people at a distance versus somebody who gets up close with a sword. And in my travels, if one person has a sword and the other has a gun and they're 20 yards apart, the person who's a dead-eye aim with a gun is going to drop the person with the sword 10 times out of 10.
These are just interesting points for two incredible characters. Look, Douglas, you've heard 3 points from both Ray and myself. It's time for you to make a decision. But before we get to what Douglas has to say, let's celebrate the Who Would Win Patron of the Week. Every week, we choose one of our amazing members from the Who Would Win Show's Patreon community and put them in a battle. Ray, which patron do we have today?
Today's patron of the week. Usually we pick patrons from certain higher up tiers and categories, but just to show you that it could go to anybody, we have Yoko Zoro is our patron of the week, is on a lower tier. I'm not trying to out you. Consider raising it. Why not? But you are our patron of the week. It's possible for anybody who's a patron.
That's interesting. Yoko Zoro, who has like a name that's a version of Yokozuna, one of my all-time favorites from WWE back in the day. All right, cool. Let's have Yoko Zoro go against an interesting version of this character. Let's have him go against the Ben Affleck version of Batman.
Oof, boy, that the worst Batman you're going to put against Yoko Zoro. That's fantastic. Okay, so Yoko Zoro actually, like his skill set, let's talk about who he is as a person. Let's talk about his powers and abilities, because this is a real Who Would Win battle against, as I said before, the worst Batman. Now, Yoko Zoro actually spins 3 characters together. This is crazy, because he's Yokozuna. In other words, he's a great sumo wrestler. He's very large in size. He's 550 pounds and 6'7". So he brings a lot of mass with him, a lot of power with his strikes. But also, he's a part Yoko Ono. He has a Black Canary-like scream that allows him to pierce the heads and explode heads when he needs to, but also he's got Zoro's sword fighting ability, and for some reason he wears a mask. Like, we're not going to know who the 6'7", 550-pound guy is in a fight. Anyway, the point I'm trying to make is he comes up against Batman, who jumps up through the floor, and he lands up in the warehouse, and he's going to go throw a batarang, and Yoko Zoro just screams. Batman falls to the ground, gripping his head. You weren't prepared for that. And then all he does, he sits on him. He sits on him with his sword and says, I dare you to get up. And you know what, Ben Affleck's Batman? He quits. Much like the studio quit on him. Congratulations, Yoko Zoro. You're our patron of the week. You can go to patreon.com/whowouldwinshow. And I could even steal this part from James. I don't care. I'm doing it.
Here's the thing. I think you're mistaken. You said this was the worst Batman. This wasn't against George Clooney. This was against Ben Affleck. I don't know if you want to retake.
Great Batman, bad property.
That's fair. All right. Look, Douglas, it's time for your decision. Take us through your process. Tell us a story, if you will, and reveal who you think wins this battle between Furiosa and the Bride.
Well, so going over my notes here, there's a lot of things that were thrown out there from both sides. And one of the things that was mentioned by Ray was if these heroines swapped worlds and had to proceed in each other's world, what would that look like? And Ray made the case that the Bride would not hold up in the tough, raw, post-apocalyptic world that Furiosa was hardened in. However, I would say that when I think about that, if I imagine the Bride entering into that post-apocalyptic world, whereas she may have been disoriented by of the world, her combat skills are very much intact. I think that she served there as well. Likewise, if Furiosa is thrown into the 21st century against trained Yakuza warriors, she would stand out. She would not get a drop on these people. So I don't think that she would have the easy advantage you think. I think she'd be a bigger fish out of water there in that case, in the suburbs. You'd spot her a mile away. Ultimately, though, that wasn't the argument. Who would win if they swapped worlds? The argument is, who would win if these two fight each other head to head? On a pure rawness scale, Ray made the case that Furiosa is unquestionably tougher. That's probably true. However, can affluence in the 21st century and professional grade martial arts training compensate for that sort of raw toughness? And I would say it can. It can compensate. The whole point of being a professional is that you learn this stuff at the highest possible levels. You're not relying just on the natural toughness. That's just a professional level versus an improvisational self-taught warrior. Also, Ray mentioned inside knowledge, that the Bride had an advantage there. I would argue, though, that the inside knowledge works both ways. Her enemies knew the Bride just as well as the Bride knew her enemies. Ultimately, when I look at this, you know, the Bride does have a finishing move. Ray speculated she wouldn't use it, but that is speculation. The weapons, I think, favor the Bride. The toughness, the world favors Furiosa. However, in the end, when I really look at this, Furiosa ran from her problems. She ran away from her world. She ran away from her problems. The Bride ran toward her problems. She engaged. She went after them. The Bride wins this one.
Unbelievable. This was possibly at least top five hardest battles to figure out. I really had no idea where it was going to go. And there you go, using insanely great logic, insight, knowing these characters, knowing the trajectory, the path they had to take, we get a genius decision that sides coincidentally with the character I'm representing, the Bride. Well played, Douglas. This is what I'm talking about. I love this win. And here's the deal, though. I love Furiosa as a character. I love the Bride. I absolutely agree with your decision. Race to Canis, you did a great job representing Furiosa. You got the loss barely. Tell the Legion of Audience, our fan base, how you're feeling right now.
There was one part of what was just said that bothers me. And that was saying that the Bride's weapons are better than Furiosa's. Now, I'm not going to argue the quality of the weapons. Her sword is a great sword, one of the best we've seen. And a lot of Furiosa's weapons are very makeshift. But one fires at range, the other has to get up close. This battle does not start in a phone booth. Ergo, the person shooting all the guns should have the weapons advantage, which is what I think pushes it over the top. Doug, you're a great writer. I don't think we can dispute it. Award-winning from what I hear, which means you must be used to getting letters to the editor and expect several when it comes to the results of this battle.
Oh, I'm definitely used to the harsh commentary in the age of social media. Like Furiosa, though, I have tried to harden myself to this and be able to withstand that sort of post-apocalyptic criticism.
Well, and also, like, just like The Bride, you've been able to slice through all of it and make your way by running towards the issues.
That's
and
right.
Taking them on head on. See what I did there, Ray? All right, this was an absolutely amazing fight. With a great, I mean, as a first-time judge, Douglas, you killed it. You were absolutely fantastic. Please come back onto the show. In the meantime, tell our fan base, Legion of Audience, where they can find you and where they can find your new book.
Well, you can find me on Twitter at Douglas A. Burton. I also have an author page on Facebook, but also my website is a great starting spot, DouglasAburton.com. I have some information about the Heroine's Labyrinth there. I got a really cool video I put together that has multiple examples from multiple movies to really drive the point home on what the labyrinth is. So if you are looking for just a glimpse of what we're talking about, you'll find it there. And you can find my book on Amazon or anywhere books are sold.
I love it. Ray Sicatus, again, great job representing Furiosa. You came up a little short, but wow, you should be really, really proud of yourself, although I don't think you are. Tell Legion of Audience, our fan base, where they can find you.
The Oxford English Language Dictionary defines disappointment as sadness or displeasure caused by the non-fulfillment of one's hopes or expectations. My hopes were that we had a judge on today who would listen to me. My expectations were that judge would listen to me and then give me a well-deserved victory. Therefore, according to the Oxford English Language Dictionary, I am filled with disappointment today, or as Merriam-Webster's thesaurus would say, disenchantment, dejectedness, dolefulness, gloominess, or even dumps. I feel dumps right now. A lot of dumps. Maybe I had too many probiotics. The point I'm trying to make in all of this is that a ranged character just lost to a melee character in a situation that should not exist outside of a world where I'm on the other side repping the melee character. What has this show come to?
The judge's decision is final.
Look, I'm not telling you you should change it, but seriously, consider changing it. Because obviously, hashtag Ray is right. Hashtag Ray was robbed. Are we still using hashtags? They don't use those on Threads. And that's the only social media site I know about these days. I have a Blue Sky, but who cares? Nobody cares about Blue Sky. In 2 weeks, that'll be gone. People in the future listening to this episode are like, what the heck is a Blue Sky? It's like a mastodon or a hive. Remember Hive? The point I'm trying to make through all of this is I remember Hive, and I'm disappointed by it as much as I was disappointed by this decision.
That is such contempt for this courtroom right here.
You know, I've got hives from listening to that. So I remember Hive. So, sorry. And where can they find you, Ray?
Oh, are we on that part of the show already?
Go
to Threads at Almighty Ray 316. Find me on the Insta, as I call it, because I'm hip and I'm done now.
All right. You can find me on X, a.k.a. Twitter, a.k.a. Ray Sicatus's favorite social media platform. You can also find me on Instagram and Facebook by typing in at James Gabsy. Remember to join the official Who Would Win Facebook group to make a suggestion for a matchup for the show and be part of our growing community. You can also find us on Instagram and Threads and TikTok at Who Would Win Show. Don't forget to subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever else you go for your podcasts. On behalf of myself, Ray Sicatus, and the rest of the amazing Who Would Win production team, thank you once again for checking out another episode of Who Would Win. We'll see you next time.
How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today's actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico. How do you feel when you switch to GEICO and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with GEICO feels just like that. Get more with GEICO.
Hey gang, I hope you enjoyed this episode and love listening to the show as much as we enjoyed making it. Quick reminder that you can support us by going to patreon.com/whowouldwinshow right now. Okay, gotta prepare for next week's episode. Hope the rest of your day is full of wins.
Hi, I'm Kevin Goatee.
Hey, I'm Kevin Israel.
We host Gutting the Sacred Cow, the best and most unique movie debate podcast out there. Why?
Because we invite our guests to pick a film that they find overrated or hate and try to convince us to see their argument.
They must pick a film that is a financial success, widely beloved, or critically acclaimed.
That's right. Some of the films our guests have tried to eviscerate, Raiders of the Lost Ark, Pulp Fiction, Ghostbusters? You can find us on all podcast platforms like Apple, Google, Spotify, and more. And if you want to watch our smiling faces, we're also on YouTube.
GuttingTheSacredCow.com is where you find all of our information. And we look forward to our guests infuriating you when they attack your favorite films.